Good morning, everyone. This is Dustin again with Secretary Northey's office here. So it's 8:30, so I think we'll go ahead and get started. Secretary Northey will give a brief opening statement, and then we'll open it up to questions. Thanks.
Good morning, all. Great to have you on the call. Look forward to the questions. Give a little bit of background on the meeting yesterday in the White House. The meeting was in the Roosevelt Room. It had gotten put together over the last week or so as they reached out to get a geographical distribution of different types of folks involved in agriculture, mostly farmers from all over the country, not really representing organizations and certainly probably not capturing every single interest, but had folks from horticulture to crop production, to livestock production, to timber, and so lots of different folks. Some of the folks I knew, a couple other commissioners of ag, Commissioner of Ag from North Carolina, Steve Troxler is a good friend, and then A.G. Caramera was the Secretary of Agriculture in California a few years ago, and got to know him very well. Most of the other folks I met for the first time. Very talented, very thoughtful, good group of folks. The meeting then took place at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We gathered about 2 o'clock in the White House to come together, sat down in the Roosevelt Room, and there's 14 in the group, plus the newly sworn in Secretary of Agriculture. Very good to be able to have a Secretary of Agriculture, and I think the timing worked wonderfully, some of it probably by design and some of it by just good luck, to be able to have the newly sworn in Secretary of Agriculture join the group as well. So he led the meeting. The president sat in the middle of the table on one side, the group around him, the Secretary of Agriculture beside him. I was across the table. There's 16 chairs at the table. The vice president did join us for part of the meeting. He was coming in from overseas and was able to be there for part of the meeting and then had to slip back out again. And then we had other White House and administration personnel around the outside of the room. Then we started the meeting with the president coming in, making a statement, saying hi, shaking hands with the press, some press there as well, and the signing then of the executive order that I'm sure many of you had a chance to be able to see, to be able to look at how to improve the ag economy and the impact on agriculture. Certainly one of the conversations around that was a look at regulatory issues and how things within the federal government can be streamlined. And so this will be led by the Secretary of Agriculture. As you saw, most of the other folks on that group will be cabinet officers or cabinet-level folks that are representing different parts of the federal government that could relate to different issues. So I don't know exactly how they're going to, you know, whether they're going to have hearings, whether what their outreach is going to be. I'm sure they'll be seem very interested in having input from folks. So there'll be a chance, I'm sure, for that as things move on and we understand what they're going to do. They did not talk about a time frame either by when that, you know, a decision was supposed to be decided. But one of the things the secretary said to the president is we'll get right on that. And so certainly an interest in moving forward quickly. After the signing of that executive order, and as the president took a few questions from the press in the room, and then the press in the room left, and it was the folks around the table, the president, the secretary, and then the other administration personnel around the room that talked. And the president asked folks questions just to introduce themselves, what issues were important to them as they would talk about issues. He'd actively ask them questions about what's this mean, what could we do. Very open, very engaged. Lots of different issues that you would expect came up. I think you've probably seen some of the summary from immigration and regulatory reform. I'm trying to think, infrastructure and trade were kind of the bigger issues. When it did come around to my introduction, I mentioned that I was from Iowa. I mentioned that we're a big ethanol-producing state. And before I could even make an ask on ethanol, the president jumped in very quickly and said, you know, I'm a big supporter of ethanol. We want to do everything to support ethanol that we can. And then we had a conversation about that. I mentioned E15 and the re-vapor pressure waiver. We certainly didn't get down in the weeds. There wasn't time for that, but he definitely wanted to reiterate that. And then we talked about Governor Branstad headed to China, how proud he is of him, how excited we are that he can be our representative in China. Certainly the Chinese issues have come up several times in the conversation around the room, and re-emphasis of that long-time relationship that Governor Branstad has with the Chinese, as well as the agricultural importance of that relationship between us and China. Both the challenges, but the opportunities, that we do ship a large amount of soybeans there, but we do want to be able to improve our beef trade and ship some beef there. And the president brought that up. Others brought that up in the room as well. And so good conversation about those issues as well as the other issues that folks brought up. Of course, the time went quick. There's 14 of us in the room. The president was not just listening, he was engaging, and a couple minutes for each of us goes very quickly, and the half hour is over very quickly, or the half hour of kind of that kind of conversation. But a lot of issues got brought up, and I think the meeting was over just before 4 o'clock. So he was with us from about 3 o'clock to nearly 4 o'clock. Good conversation. So certainly interested in any questions that you have.
Yeah, just go ahead and introduce yourself and then ask your question.
This is Ken.
Mr. Secretary, this is Ken Rude.
Hi, Ken.
May I ask you a direct question, sir, of your potential involvement in the Sonny Perdue-led U.S. Department of Agriculture?
Well, I certainly look forward to working with him. I don't know what role that might be. I assume I certainly would love to work with him as Iowa Secretary of Ag. If there's another job that's offered, I'd be very willing to consider that as well. Very, very comfortable, very excited to be able to have Sonny Perdue as secretary. And he's going to, I think Iowans are going to love him as he comes out here and gets a chance to be able to share his philosophy. And so whether it's working directly with him from here or whether it's working directly with him there, I don't know what that will be, Ken. But either way, we will work very closely together, and I think it's going to be a great relationship.
This is Kay at Radio Iowa. When you decided not to run for the U.S. Senate, one of the things you said was you didn't want to leave the family farm. How has that decision-making evolved as you consider taking a job in Washington, D.C.?
Well, it still would be a consideration. I love living in Iowa. I love being here close to family and close to the farm. If I was offered, and I have not been offered, but if I was offered something, that would absolutely be part of the consideration, is I'd likely have to give up my farming interest to be able to do that, just because you have some connection to decisions that could impact the farm. And so if that is a part of the consideration. So first of all, I haven't been offered to know what that would involve or what my role might be, but there would be a couple things that if offered, I would very seriously look at and could be worthwhile enough in the kind of difference that you can make, and the interesting experience that it would be that that it would be worth stepping away from the farm for. But I don't know what that is, and certainly cross that bridge when we come to it.
Secretary Northey, it's James Lynch at the Gazette, and I'm wondering, as you left the meeting, do you feel like you have an understanding of what a Trump farm policy will look like?
You know, I think we get pieces of it. It's hard to capture that whole policy in a short conversation on lots and lots of issues. But number one, you could see that he leaned very heavily on Sonny Perdue. As some of these issues would come up and he would say, I want to know more about those, he'd turn and look at Secretary Perdue and say, can you get me some background on that? Can you get me a memo on that? I'd be very interested in learning more about how that impacts producers and what we can do. And so you certainly got the sense that he highly respects his Secretary of Agriculture, that he wants to be engaged himself as president on these issues, and then wants to make the rest of the federal government work for ag producers as well. So what that involves, James, in actually getting down into the issues, that's going to have to play out over time, and some of these are going to depend on the circumstances. I can't tell you what the administration is going to be pushing in the next farm bill or some of those issues, but he did, as we talked some trade issues, he certainly talked about opening up markets. We need more markets for our producers. We need to be firm in the way that we deal with our trading partners. And so it was both creating more markets and opportunities, and then certainly a lot of focus as well on finding places where regulations and the burdensome parts of government have slowed down the process, make it more expensive to operate, either for producers or who producers work with. And so I really do think part of this executive order, part of what they'll be looking for is those regulations that maybe are well-intended, but the simple operation of those regulations can cause a real burden. So I think those would be a couple of the areas of focus, but it's going to be obviously need to be a lot more complex than that in the end.
Mr. Secretary, Tom Ryder at WNEX. On the regulations, was there any talk about redoing the Food Safety Modernization Act?
Well, concerns about Food Safety Modernization Act did come up. A good friend from North Carolina, Steve Troxler, brought it up. And has been part of the lead within our organization, National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, to look at that impact on growers. Most of the comments were very supportive of necessary food safety changes, but the implementation of some of those changes has created some real expense on producers. We spent most in the short period of time of that conversation, it was really more about produce farmers and the challenge around water testing and some of those issues that make sense on the surface but end up being very expensive to producers, have the potential of hurting their ability to stay in business or making it more expensive. Of course, we didn't talk about, but certainly one of my concern is the impact on feed manufacturers as well. The FSMA regulations impact feed manufacturers, and we have a lot of feed that's produced in Iowa. It'll make parts of it certainly will affect the expenses of feed producers, but there still was that overall approach that we do need to constantly look at ways that improving food safety, and so is not redoing the Food Safety Modernization Act, but more how the regulations within that act are being implemented. Are there ways that could be more responsive and still get the same things done with less expense?
Was there any talk about not letting FDA inspectors just come onto farms, really, you know, that type of thing at all?
You know, that did not come up specifically. I know if there's a deeper conversation, that those issues will come up, and certainly that's been an issue, a concern within our NASDA group. Part of that is the balance of who does some of that inspection. Is it state officials? Is it federal officials? Who has the experience? And it's that same balance that sometimes is out there between EPA and a state DNR or equivalent authority within a state. Somehow somebody needs to do some checking. At the same token, when both sets of folks walk onto a farm and tell a farmer different things and threaten and other kinds of things, it can take you places that really nobody intended for it to go. So we did not talk about that specifically, Tom, but it is something that has been talked about in general, some of behind the scenes, and I'm sure may come in front of an executive order. This group is, as this group would meet in trying to sort through that issue.
Secretary
George Bauer up at KICD. Your mother says hello.
Thank you, George.
Were the proposed budget cuts at USDA addressed yesterday?
They were not. We didn't really talk about Farm Bill or budget cuts. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of conversations about budget the rest of the week as far as a continuing resolution. There certainly will be for the next fiscal year, but they were not talked about specifically during the meeting.
Did the biodiesel tax credit come up? Senator Grassley said he would reintroduce that today.
You know, the biodiesel tax credit didn't specifically come up, but the renewable fuels conversation was very supportive of renewable fuels and ethanol. And so, it would have fit into that conversation very easily. I could have imagined the conversation being that issue coming up, but it didn't in the period of time that we had.
I guess my final question.
Tom Klesa from University of Illinois. Outside of the meeting, was there much discussion about the proposed budget cut, the 21% decrease in the discretionary spending, and the potential impact on FSA and RSC in RCS offices, employees, those were actually targeted. And of course, this has been an issue for more than a decade in the potential consolidation of offices.
There was just a little bit of conversation. We met as a group the night before to kind of talk about what issues were important to us that we intended to share so that we ended up making sure the issues got covered, but we didn't repeat ourselves in the period of time that we had. It came up a little, but for the most part, this group agreed that the present budget matters. It was focused on, you know, balancing the budget. That's very important, but it really was a signpost as opposed to a real prescription of what was going to happen. We all expect that Congress is very much going to put their stamp on it. The president proposes, as most administrations do, but then Congress really takes the ownership of what happens. And we've heard certainly from Congress that they would take a thorough look and probably do some things very different than what that budget was. So we didn't go very far down the road that this is somehow inevitable and what would the changes be. There is a great interest in Americans, in ag folks, in getting closer to a balanced budget. At the same token, we know that the spending that happens within our agencies matter as well and the ability for the government to respond. And so balancing those two pieces, knowing that Congress is really going to approach that, we didn't get very far down that road.
Mr. Secretary, Edie Peterson, WMT, water quality has been a passion of yours, obviously. Did any of those conversations take place yesterday?
And I'm trying to remember, Andy. Not specifically. We talked a little bit about regulatory regulations. We talked about Waters of the U.S. We talked about it. I believe we talked about Administrator Pruitt, and certainly the group is very excited about having Administrator Pruitt at EPA. I, at another time, had a short conversation with the administrator with an opportunity to be able to mention water quality and state-led initiatives on water quality. I'm part of a hypoxia task force that brings together states and federal agencies, and one of the things we've all done as states within that task force is do what we've done in Iowa, and I was one of the first to do, was put a water quality initiative forward within our own state. And then, of course, we've gathered, as time has gone on, some funding to go with that. And so I got a small chance to be able to talk to Administrator Pruitt about that at an earlier meeting a couple weeks ago, and he seemed very interested. We've got some connections with some of his folks and looking forward to carrying on more conversation. I don't believe that it came up in our conversation yesterday specifically.
This is Danelle Eller from the Register. Hey, did the president talk about tariffs on Canada and Mexico, and did he provide any assurances that he wouldn't jeopardize existing markets?
He did mention, of course, very...
Good morning, everyone.
Top of mind for him was the tariff on softwood lumber from Canada. We had a timber producer in our group, a cattle and timber producer, that was very appreciative and could go into a little bit more understanding of that issue than certainly I have, and talked about the need for good trade. He talked about the need for good trade with Canada and Mexico. We talked about that they are good markets for us. The president's very concerned about the Canadian dairy issue. We had a change in some dairy regulations on ultra-filtered milk that has caused some loss of some markets of some Wisconsin and upstate New York producers where they were selling some milk into Canada and now not going to be able to. He was very aware of that. He mentioned that on the trail and brought that up to the group. We had a couple dairy farmers in the group that were very appreciative of his attention on that. So he spent some time talking about the issue. The group did as well. And we reiterated how important, I believe that was one of the things that I brought up, was how important that Mexican market is, certainly the Mexican pork market. We also talked about the Japanese pork and beef market and how there are opportunities for improvement, including bilateral. Bilateral was brought up, trying to get a bilateral done with Japan. The president's certainly very concerned that the countries that we have trade with live up to those trade agreements. And feeling like both what the Canadians did on dairy was not doing that. In his perspective, softwood lumber was a problem as well. And so I know it's top of mind. We did not get specific assurances on what future policies will be here, but I'm very excited to be able to have Secretary Perdue as more a part of those conversations around issues, and therefore be able to make sure that he can articulate both the needs and the positions of agriculture. So we need beef trade with China. We need improved tariff reductions with Japan. But at the same token, we have great trade with soybeans with China. We have great trade with pork and beef into Japan. We have great trade with dairy and corn and pork and some other products into Mexico, and I think the secretary will be able to be a very active part of those conversations and making sure that we continue to have good trade, but we look for opportunities to be able to grow that trade, because with all the trade we have right now, we still have an oversupply of our products here that is softening up prices in a way that's hurting our producers. So in general, yes, Danelle. But specifically, I think going forward, we are very well positioned to have the agricultural issues front and center in those conversations on trade.
Hey, Bill, it's Andy. Governor or Secretary Perdue has announced a couple of trips to the Midwest, Missouri, and Wisconsin. You mentioned that you were excited to try and get him out in Iowa as well. Any idea when that may take place?
You know, I don't know. I do think that there's a chance of that happening, and I guess we'll all just kind of stay tuned. You know, these kinds of him being in place, I guess actually sworn in about 24 hours ago, my guess is that schedule, even if he's got some things in mind, that can change. And so I think we should wait until we hear a formal schedule and formal announcements. But I'm very hopeful, and I think he will. I think Iowans will very much look forward to hearing from him, and I think they'll be excited to be able to hear. So I'm hoping that it's sooner rather than later, but I guess we'll have to see. I don't know when.
Secretary Northey, it's James Lynch again. I wanted to ask you about a water quality issue here in Iowa. The legislature failed to reach an agreement on a plan before they adjourned, and I heard that you were lobbying folks to adopt the Senate plan. How much damage or how much of a setback is it for the legislature not to adopt any plan for next year?
As you say, James, I was very interested in the opportunity that a plan would have gotten us. I think it would have created some certainty for investment. I think it would have created a nice pool of dollars looking forward to be able to match some federal dollars and private dollars. So I was very committed to that. And the reason, one of the main reasons supporting the Senate plan is the way it looked like things were coming together. I think that was the only one that had a chance of being able to be passed. And so we worked very hard here. Along with the governor's office, side by side, some of our farm group friends as well, that really worked hard to be able to make that happen. So I think it's an opportunity that we'll, I guess, have to push down the road. I do believe it's a positive that both chambers passed a long-term water quality funding proposal. I think it would have been ideal for those proposals to come together now, but I think there will be conversations about how they can come together next year. We did, at the end of the year, get a few more dollars for fiscal year 18 than our current fiscal year 17 to be able to invest in water quality. And so we have dollars. We're going to keep moving forward. We have producers. We have other folks, private organizations that are interested in being more engaged. So we're going to keep moving forward. I think it was potentially a unique time when it could have come together. We saw that opportunity. It was important to be able to amazing thing to think that nutrient reduction strategy is just 5 years old, and it has become so ingrained in the way producers look at how they're organizing their business and in the way that folks work with producers are looking at offering services like cover crops and how we have our friends in the land improvement contractors that are investing in equipment so they can build bioreactors and saturated buffers and nutrient reduction wetlands that we have other groups from outside coming in. So we have made a lot of progress, and I'm excited for the progress that we can make in the future. I think in the big picture, we're at an amazing place, and I'm very, very proud of Iowans. I really am disappointed. I would have liked to have that funding, but I am very excited about where we're at.
Last week or so.
Secretary Northey, this is Kay again.
Sure.
Hello. Hello.
And trade.
Okay.
Wait again.
Yeah, if you can please mute your lines,
may
I think somebody.
I ask you a direct question? Consider that as well.
I think somebody's playing back.
I think
direct
Ken is
question.
Playing back his audio.
Well, I certainly look forward to working with him. I don't know what role that might be. I assume certainly.
Sir, of your potential involvement in the Department of Agriculture.
Certainly look.
Okay, we can maybe.
As I was
I think
Secretary
we can
of Ag.
Wrap up here. We can follow up with you.
Offered.